Hello and welcome to Instant Transmission, a podcast where we talk about everything Dragon Ball and links between crime rates and naming a town Satan City. Cell has been defeated and peace has been restored to the planet once more. Goku, after being killed by Cell's explosive temper tantrum, has remained in Otherworld while the rest of the Z Fighters have continued their lives. I hope you haven't been slacking on your training because we're about to begin our coverage of DBZ Kai, the final chapters. I'm your host, Dayton, and once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Todd.
Hi.
Tonight, we'll be covering Kai's episodes 99 through 108, just like we would before, but the series is technically broken into two parts that were separated by a two-year break in the animation. The second part is referred to as the final chapters, and you may or may not reset the episode number back down to one. We're not sure, but we're just going to continue with the episode numbers as if nothing changed. But it covers the Buu saga exclusively, so you may hear us refer to this coverage as just the Buu arc. And with all that covered, was there anything you wanted to add before we got things started, Todd?
The only other little detail I want to touch on is that Toei Animation, the original production company for Dragon Ball in Japan, made two different versions of the Buu arc. One that is 69 episodes long, nice, and it is... It was basically made because international audiences wanted the Buu arc when the television broadcast for Dragon Ball Kai got cut short at the end of the Cell arc. And then Fuji TV wanted to show the Buu arc, but they needed a one-year scheduling run for the Buu arc. So Toei Animation cut their 69 episodes down to, I think it's something like 56 or somewhere in the 50s, but they cut it even shorter. But we're covering the 69 episode run, the slightly longer run, and we just wanted to make sure that everybody is aware there are two versions out there in case you get confused.
Or we just wanted everyone to be as confused as we were when we were putting this episode together.
It's been real confusing.
So we're going to dive into the coverage, which may be episode one somewhere, but we're not going to go with that anymore. This is episode 99 of DBZ Kai. And the name of this episode is 7 years since that event. Starting today, Gohan's a high schooler. And this episode starts with a big recap that wouldn't make sense unless you were aware that there was a gap in the animation, right?
Yeah, because the production, there was a gap in producing the Buu arc versus the Cell arc. They do give us a recap. I was honestly mostly fine with it. It takes about 5 minutes long, and that 5 minutes covers the entirety of the Cell arc, the Frieza arc, the Saiyan arc, Frieza arc, and the Cell arc. I wasn't overly bothered by it.
No, it's not very distracting. I mean, I would have been upset if it was, say, an entire episode of recap. Because that kind of stuff really does kind of piss me off in some shows where it's like, yeah, I was there. I just watched it. You don't need to tell me everything again. But this 5 minute little recap format, I wish other shows would adopt this because I think this is great, especially when you might be referencing old information or stuff might become relevant that you may have forgotten about. It's great having that refresher.
I'll be honest, I was worried. I think it's the second episode. I was worried after seeing this recap, and then I think the second episode has a last time on Dragon Ball Kai recap that is almost like 2 minutes long, and I thought that was going to be the format going forward, but fortunately, it's not.
I'm glad you noticed that, because I feel like recaps like that were way more common in the original run, so...
They were.
Maybe it was a way to kind of stir up some nostalgia. But or maybe it was an episode they didn't make very many cuts in, so maybe that's why it was left in. Who knows?
Yeah.
But either way, weird. We get the recap. It's a fine recap. I actually think it's kind of fun, so I think it's a good spot for it. I understand it. But we also get a new intro, and this intro, I've got a few things to say about this intro. One is the music is very like late 80s feeling, so it's like late 80s, early 90s kind of rock and roll sort of thing. So I don't know. I'm fine with it. It almost feels like a video game.
I don't have any problem with it. It is a new opening song. It feels like it's trying to harken back to the original days that Dragon Ball was airing, right? Like it does have, like you said, kind of that late 80s, early 90s feel to it. I don't really have much of a problem with it. The visuals are interesting. start to like tease a couple of characters that we're going to see. They do kind of spoil Super Saiyan 3, which
I thought it was kind of spoiler packed. So I'm not sure. Once again, this is the eternal debate of which version of Dragon Ball do you show to people who have never seen the show. The other thing is that if I've never seen Dragon Ball, you might have some big questions about some of the stuff, like why the heck does Goku look so friggin' weird? So it might actually be a hook. Who knows?
Yeah, admittedly, Dragon Ball and even just anime in general, their openers are almost always filled with dozens of spoilers. So
okay, all right, it's just part of the culture, let's say.
Yeah, pretty much. I will say I was torn on the animation for the opener. Like, it kind of reanimates some scenes, and it looks like it's trying to be modern, but it doesn't look great.
You know, I kind of thought the same thing, where I couldn't tell if it was something they found and fixed up, or if it was a completely new animation at some points in it. But I don't know. It's also the intro. After I watch it the first time, I skip it every other time after that.
Yeah, it's not a big deal to complain about. I just thought it was worth noting, like, the animation's a little bit weird looking.
But after the intro, we get told that there's a 7-year jump from the end of the Cell games to where we're picking up from, and that Earth has experienced relative peace in those 7 years, but has been kind of becoming riddled with normal bog standard crime, like criminals.
Yeah, which is interesting, right? But we kind of get a brief look at what is now called Satan City, and we cut quickly to kind of our main protagonist in the moment, as we see an age up Gohan riding on Nimbus heading towards Satan City.
I do think it's kind of neat that Gohan's riding Nimbus. I don't know what it is, but Goku always rode that thing. It's kind of cool to see his prodigy riding on that thing.
I enjoy it. We kind of quickly find out that Gohan is going to high school, and one of the reasons he's kind of riding Nimbus is because he doesn't want to be found out as somebody with superpowers. Like, he doesn't want people to see him flying into his high school.
Yeah, and on his way into high school, Gohan runs into some of this crime that's been alluded to by Mr. Narrator Man, and he powers up to Super Saiyan, mostly to hide his identity, to use the golden hair as kind of a way to make him look different than his normal form so he can go to classes. But, I mean, as he takes care of these criminals and attempts his covert exit, he's able to turn off the golden hair, but not sneak away before he's stopped by a woman who we quickly find out is named Videl, who is very no nonsense and very serious and questioning Gohan about what he saw here.
Yeah. And so Gohan's whole reason for going Super Saiyan was kind of to disguise himself. We find that his motivation here, he wants to just live a normal life. He wants to go to high school without people bothering him. And if people find out that he has superpowers, he's going to have all kinds of publicities. You know, people are going to be asking him all kinds of questions. It might create a uncomfortable situation for his family. So he just wants to be a normal high schooler. And we're going to see that Videl is not going to let that happen very easily for him.
No. In fact, in Gohan's attempts to hide his identity, it's created this mythical person called the Golden Warrior, who is now the superhero figure that flies around fighting crime. And in this last little bout with the Golden Warrior, someone realized that this warrior was wearing a patch that refers to the same high school that Gohan's going to.
Yeah, Gohan and Videl, because when Gohan enters into his class for his first time, from our perspective as the audience, we get to see him take a seat next to Videl and her two friends, Erasa and Sharpner.
I do love Gohan's introduction, though, from the professor, because the professor just announces Gohan as a nerd before letting him take a seat. Just sets him up for failure. And it's just hilarious to me.
Yeah, he's basically expressing all of Gohan's accolades, right? And his grades in all of these different subjects. And it's like, okay, well, everybody is like, okay, well, we know what to expect from this guy. But funny enough, Erasa, Videl's friend, takes a quick keen liking to Gohan. She even has a comment, which is funny to me, as she says, I hope he likes blondes, because Erasa is a blonde, but we're going to find that blondes might not be Gohan's type.
Yeah, so Gohan's offered a seat right next to Erasa, and by proxy, Videl, and I forget the guy's name, but he stops mattering.
Sharpner, but yeah.
And a conversation about the Golden Warrior quickly erupts, and Videl is very suspicious of probably everybody, but very much Gohan. And gets even more suspicious when she finds out that Gohan travels like 600 miles every day to go to school.
This is wild, right? Gohan says this as if it's no big deal, but he's trying to be like, oh yeah, sorry, it's just my commute. I commute here every day, which is wild. But I do also want to point out, I love that Toriyama continues to name his characters with relevant puns, because we're in a school, so we've got Eraser and Sharpner. It's stupid, it's silly, and I absolutely love it.
He stays on theme. I do appreciate that. I thought that's what the theme was, but I'm glad you confirmed it for me.
But we kind of keep moving forward as Gohan continues to try to live an ordinary life. There's a brief scene with him playing baseball where he completely fails to hide his powers as he excels wildly at baseball.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, but it's one of those things where I don't know how important this content was to leave in Kai.
It's weird, and we're going to continue kind of like talking about that as we move forward. I think for the most part, really, that kind of wraps up our episode, is Gohan tries to like dip away from Videl as she realizes that it seems like he's trying to walk home, like he doesn't have any transportation, which seems strange to her, but he gives her the dip. And really, that pretty much takes us into the next episode.
Yeah, which is episode 100, Found Out, the new hero is Son Gohan. And this episode has the most jarring start to me, which is, it shows Bulma smoking a cigarette, which just blew my mind.
It's interesting. And I kind of thought, I was trying to understand this in my mind too. Like, I mean, there's nothing that has really indicated to us that she wouldn't, but we've never seen her do it before. I don't know. Yeah,
you kind of figure that, you know, there'd be like a moment or something before this rather than just it's happening. Like, there's no lead up. There's no reason. It just, one day, we never saw her doing it our entire experience with her until like now, until like 400 episodes in.
Yeah, I mean, the only, like, we've missed a lot of time with our characters, right? Like, there's a 7-year gap here, so like, yeah, there could be something going on in that 7 years, but it's like, why is it, you know, is it just because it's cool? Is it because she's dealing with stress? I don't know. We don't really get a good explanation.
When was, do you know when the original Buu arc was released? Because that might have something to do with it. Because there was, smoking was being promoted as like a cool thing, I think, in like the 90s and maybe early 2000s.
I was kind of thinking the same thing, because I'm pretty sure that the original run of the Buu arc was in like 94, 95, something
so
like that.
So that could have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Where it was just a cool thing at the time. And nowadays we look at it and go, oh, health hazard. But back in, you know, the early mid 90s, it was kind of a cool thing to do. My rationalization at this point is I'm pretty sure her dad smoked, or at least had a cigarette in his mouth a lot. So could be something to make her seem more like her dad or something, but it starts off with like this big drag and this big plume of smoke, and it's jarring to me.
Yeah, it's fair. And it's I made note of it too, but I think that you're right. I think that it was a relic of the time, that it kind of makes, or probably it was thought to make Bulma look more cool in the moment.
One of those things like may have not aged as well.
Yeah, exactly. She's
but
supposed
anyway,
to be like,
let's
cool
get
mom.
Over that because it's not actually important. Gohan's there and asks Bulma to make him a disguise that way he can actually hide his identity. And Bulma says, sure, yeah, no problem. I'm a genius. I can have that whipped up in a few hours. During this time, Gohan asks about Trunks and Vegeta and finds out that Vegeta has actually been training Trunks. And not only has Vegeta been training Trunks, Gohan runs into Vegeta and he makes this, I love this comment so much I wrote it down. He just scowls at Gohan and says, look at you. When was the last time you trained? Just because things are peaceful now is no excuse to get lazy.
It's a great comment.
Like it's telling the future a little bit in ways.
Yeah, this is almost like this almost expresses everyone's frustration with Gohan's character and his character arc.
I mean, I don't mind some of this is foreshadowing, but I mean, it's I don't like this situation. How many times it pops up throughout Dragon Ball where it's just like a situation arises, Gohan needs to get back in shape to save the day sort of thing. Like, can we stop doing that?
Yeah, we've repeated it many times, but the good thing is this is the first time that we get to experience it in the story. So we kind of push forward. You kind of get the impression, you know, of course, Vegeta's been training Trunks, and that's kind of why he makes this comment. It's kind of fun to see Vegeta and with his kid after all this time too, but we kind of shift over back to Bulma having completed Gohan's disguise, and it is something.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's got its iconic green shirt sitting over some black tights, a red cape, and this orange helmet. It's actually ridiculous is what it is, and I don't think anyone but Gohan thinks it's cool.
It really, like, it almost has like a, like, Goku meets Superman meets Kamen Rider look to it. Like, it's it's real ridiculous. I also love Trunks being like, oh, mom, I want a costume like that before the costume gets revealed. And then after the costume gets revealed, he's like, yeah, on second thought, never mind.
That's such a kid thing to do.
Yeah. I do well, kind of think it's cool that Bulma basically expresses the way she made it was using like the capsule technology. Like she keeps the costume, like it shrinks itself on a molecular level into the watch and then expands or whatever, some sort of wizard science magic.
Well, and I don't know if we talked about this on mic or not, but as soon as he puts on the costume, he starts doing almost like Ginyu poses, right? And I think this is something that we had briefly talked about where Gohan was so young when he encountered the Ginyu Force, there has to be some sort of lasting effect on him where when he got older and put on this costume, he thought of them when he thought about like, all right, what's an elite fighter do and look like? And how do I, you know, represent that? Well, the Ginyu Force would have been his actual in real life run-in with them.
I've been telling Dayton that I love the Great Saiyan Man. I've been telling Dayton this for the longest time, and it's because of that little detail. I mean, Gohan's been raised in the quite literally the middle of nowhere. He has very little exposure to other people or to popular media. The only real exposure Gohan has to people who are supposed to be like cool elite warriors is kind of the Ginyu Force. And he ran into them when he was 5 years old. And so that kind of apparently it had a lasting impression on him because he completely imitates the poses that the Ginyu Force made in his Great Saiyan Man persona. And I love it.
So, and I don't, do you think that's intentional or do you think that's just your logic that you're applying to it?
That's a tough call, man. Like, I don't know. I feel like if it's not supposed to be directly like the psychology of Gohan, it's almost certainly that Toriyama was in two separate instances kind of making a joke or a play on like the superhero or like the I'm forgetting the name of it right now. Yeah, the like the Power Ranger sort of idea or Kamen Rider, like those sorts of characters.
I can definitely buy that. I don't know. There's definitely some, and there's a couple areas that I think Toriyama does little details like this that make this writing in Boo already feel, even though I'm not the biggest Boo arc fan, there are things in here that already feel better than what I experienced in Super.
We'll talk about that more moving forward, because there's a lot of people don't like the Boo arc. I like a lot of the writing. It's just, it's not pieced together well in some points.
But to push on, Gohan gets his suit, unleashes some Ginyu poses, and that's the beginning of the Saiyaman legend. Gohan even goes home to show off the suit to Chi-Chi and a young Goten, who is the spitting image of Goku when he was a kid. And at least Goten thinks it's really cool.
So this is kind of going to be the start of one topic that I want to cover pretty heavily in this sequence of episodes, and it's the writing for Goten and Trunks, because especially after watching Dragon Ball Super, where Goten and Trunks, they don't feel like characters. They feel like they have no personality, no point in being in any of the scenes whatsoever. In the Boo arc, they have excellent character writing. Like I loved hearing Trunks's response to the Great Saiyaman and being like, oh, you look like a dork, versus Goten's response to seeing the Great Saiyaman, and he's like, oh, you're so cool, Gohan, I want to be just like you and look just like that when I grow up. It's such a great distinction between those two characters. It's really well done.
Yeah, it's, I don't remember the characters being written this well, so I'm kind of glad we're going back and watching and picking out all these details, because this is probably something that I probably wouldn't have paid as much attention to on my watch back through this if it wasn't for this podcast. So thanks, everybody, for giving me the opportunity to actually really appreciate some good writing.
Yeah, absolutely. However, the writing gets a little bit more goofy here as we move forward.
I think we end up back at school where we find out that Videl like helps the police fight crime, which I've got some questions about a police system that calls a high schooler when they need help with like dangerous thieves, but okay, so that's what she does. The classmates say that she does it in her spare time, but she's literally leaving school to go do it. So, I mean, isn't that a path to becoming a delinquent?
Yeah, it's it doesn't feel like a good system, right? I mean, the Dragon Ball world is a little bit different, and we have, you know, people with all kinds of superpowers, and we kind of get the impression, like, people are saying Videl is supposed to be at least as strong as her father, Mr. Satan.
Which... Oh, yeah, that's also revealed at this point, that Videl has been kind of doing this in place of her father. So she's kind of like, you get the, I guess they're kind of implying that she's getting ready to kind of take that mantle sort of thing. Like she's building her own legacy at this point.
Absolutely. I also just want to point out for anybody who has watched this and did not realize, the naming puns continue with Videl, because Videl is an anagram for devil. So we've got her father, Mr. Satan, and then we've got the devil.
Yeah, I can see why the original run censored some things.
Yeah, they didn't like Mr. Satan and turned him into Hercule. Videl, they got away with, though, because a lot of people probably don't even realize that it's supposed to be devil.
It's Mr. Satan's pretty on the nose.
I mean, Team Four Star really, really put that one in place with their Hail Satan, Hail Satan.
You know, actually, I noticed a little later when they're cheering for Mr. Satan, the cheer is probably supposed to be Satan, Satan, but they break it up so that way it's Mr. Satan.
That's American censorship at its finest, folks.
So anyway, Gohan overhears and Videl getting the call to go help the police. She flies out the door, and Gohan kind of follows suit to make sure that the daughter of Mr. Satan doesn't get hurt. And we see Videl, she actually beats up the criminals on this bus, and she does a pretty bang up job of it. But the bus careens towards this cliff and flies off of it. But luckily, the magnificent Mr. Saiyaman is there to save the bus from crashing and dooming them all.
Yeah. And I mean, this is kind of cool. Like, really, if Gohan or the great Saiyaman had not been here, Videl and all of these elderly folks would have bit the dust. But Gohan saves the day, and Videl is now even more interested in figuring out who the great Saiyaman is. She's not letting this go. And that more or less wraps up that episode.
Yeah, that brings us to episode 101. Gohan's the teacher, Videl's introduction to flight. Great Saiyaman keeps being great Saiyaman, and Videl keeps trying to fight crime, but is starting to become overshadowed in the press by great Saiyaman. So there's kind of this, I would say, frictional relationship developing between these two.
Yeah, she's frustrated. Videl is kind of used to being, like, in a way, the top dog, as far as, like, fighting crime and helping the police, and she likes being in the limelight a little bit. There's a brief scene where she kind of like runs into the great Saiyaman with her helicopter and tries to chase him down. And he once more gives her the slip, but she's not letting this whole thing go. And eventually we get to another crime scenario where we've got, I don't even remember what they were called, like the Red Shark Gang or something.
Sure. You can call them whatever gang you want. So the bad boys.
Yeah, they kidnap the mayor, and what they want is Mr. Satan to come so that their gang leader can fight Mr. Satan and prove that they are bigger, badder, and stronger than Mr. Satan. But they don't get Mr. Satan. Instead, they get Videl.
Yeah, and Videl shows up to fight these criminals, including this ginormous thug who is looking for this death match. And as things start to kind of build up and the fight starts to get underway, we see Saiyaman shows up to, you know, help and save the day. And we know that Gohan would be able to defeat all these criminals without even trying, right? But Videl refuses to accept any help. She needs to win this fight on her own. She doesn't want to just be babysat and helped with everything along the way. She wants to grow as a character is almost what it feels like. Or she wants to grow as a martial artist or a hero. I don't know what exactly she's aiming for, but she wants to stand on her own two feet in this fight. And Gohan's forced to sit back as she engages in a pretty brutal fight with a pretty big dude.
Yeah. And I like this. I like this writing for her character in this moment. I mean, this is peak Videl. Like, this arc is the best Videl that we're ever going to get.
And it's very Dragon Ball, too. It's a big part of Dragon Ball is being able to kind of dig your feet in deep and do things yourselves.
In addition to, I mean, there are a couple, a very small handful of strong female characters who are fighters. And I like that Videl is not, it's rare that she's treated as a damsel in distress. Yes, Gohan saves her a couple of times, but we never feel like she's helpless, like she needs to be saved.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that she's forging her own path, right? And she's not afraid to do that. And we see her she eventually just takes down this giant goon. And even Gohan's kind of impressed that she was able to take someone down who's probably, what, 4 or 5 times her size? Maybe more?
Yeah, easy.
But that's pretty much that episode. It's a lot of just great Saiyaman running around doing stuff, trying to hide his identity, Videl trying to sniff it out, and then really that big fight at the end was the only thing that noteworthy? Could you think of anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Some of these earliest episodes, their slice of life, we're getting to know like adult Gohan, getting to know Videl, but I'll be honest, a lot of these ones feel like fluff.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same thing happening over and over again. Like, oh, I'm going to catch you. Oh, I didn't catch you. It's all right. You can do that once and then we get it. This is Kai. Come on. We're going to trim this up. Speaking of trimming this up, episode 104, A Troubling Premonition, The Appearance of a Mysterious Warrior. And this one begins with Goten and Gohan looking for some baby pterodactyl that they find out a rich guy stole.
I'll be honest, I was so frustrated that this entire episode was kept in here. I skipped through the first half of this episode.
I don't blame you. I mean, for me, there's a couple beats I do want to touch on for a moment. We get a scene of Videl speaking with her father. And she asks whether he ever met the previous world martial arts champion. And I thought this was kind of interesting. And he mentions that he knows his name is Goku, but he never fought him. And this is important because Videl starts adds this to her puzzle box, right? This is another piece that she begins to put together. And it's kind of that helps Videl realize that Gohan is the great Saiyaman, and he's strong because Goku was his dad, and she threatens to spill the beans unless he also enters the world martial arts tournament with her.
Yeah, we're kind of skipping over the fact that
I don't care about the pterodactyl. That doesn't matter.
Gohan saves the pterodactyl, blah 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 blah. These are the important beats. Basically, Videl blackmails Gohan into joining the World Martial Arts Tournament. He doesn't really have a choice if he wants to keep his identity secret or his powers secret. And he does. So he agrees that he's going to join the tournament. And he also agrees, due to, again, blackmail, to teach Videl how to fly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to blackmail somebody, you might as well get as much as you can out of it. But I think this is a big moment for me because it's one of those moments that does show that Videl thinks and operates differently than her father. Hercule was always trying to kind of write up an excuse or find like a way to kind of cheat a battle and not actually do the hard work to figure things out. Videl wants to kind of dive straight in. She wants to know how this works rather than figuring out a way to make herself look good, right? So it's a different of mentality, and it's really showing that Videl's a lot different than her father.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I like that about her character a lot because she's seen Gohan fly. She's seen it firsthand, and she doesn't try to come up with some justification or explanation. She's like, okay, this is a real thing. If somebody can do this, surely I can learn how to do it if I put in the effort and put in the work. And so she gets somebody who's going to teach her how to do that. And we kind of move forward with Gohan now making plans to enter into the World Martial Arts Tournament. But one of the complications, he of course wants to enter in as the great Saiyaman, again, to keep his identity private, but he can't enter the tournament with any protective equipment, which his great Saiyaman helmet qualifies as protective equipment.
This solution, only the smartest person in the Dragon Ball universe could come up with this solution. The great Saiyaman's going to enter wearing sunglasses and a bandana. And I don't remember, there might be a fake mustache. I'll have to check.
I can't, like, Team Four Star somewhat recently released their clips of the Boo arc, and I can't not think about the clip of Bulma being like, well, Gohan, do you think you can pull off a do-rag?
But the end of this episode just explodes with, oh, crap, stuff's happening, with Vegeta overhearing the World Martial Arts conversation and decides that he's going to enter. And I love this because I feel like Vegeta's entering for two reasons. One, to be a dick. Like, let's be real. He's not above that. But two, I think this is also Vegeta's way to try and like get Gohan back on the path of the warrior, because Vegeta does respect Gohan, and the comments he made earlier about Gohan skimping on the training, it wasn't out of a place of malice. It wasn't out of a place of hatred or condescension. I think it was out of a place of disappointment. Like, look at my fellow Saiyan. Look at how strong you were, and look at where you are now.
Yeah, I'm going to go a slightly different direction and say that I agree with you on that, but I think there's even another layer to it, because I feel like, I mean, maybe this plays more into your part of saying that he wants to be a dick, because I think that he really wants to prove that he is stronger than Kakarot's son. Like, there's almost certainly that level of, or that measure of ego that has just like been sticking with him for the past 7 years, where he's like, this half-breed child is more powerful than I am, and I can't let that stand.
See, I thought about that too, but I think that comes later, because I think Vegeta wouldn't care as much if it's this out of shape, like 7 years out of practice Gohan. Like, you're beating up on this piddly weak little version of what you saw. And so this would be Vegeta's chance to get Gohan motivated to get back into shape. And then you beat him and you wear all that pride and you get all the badges of honor, because you need Gohan to be in his best form in order for it to mean anything.
I see what you're saying. And yeah, I could agree with that. I mean, it's not unlike, we could compare it to Vegeta letting imperfect Cell get his perfect form, right? Vegeta doesn't always want to be on top. He wants to make sure that he's fighting people at their best and still on top.
Yeah, exactly. He wants you to know that you never stood a chance. Also, that insult where he tells Cell that he's not even the second strongest person in the universe is like peak Vegeta. I love that it sticks with me, because there's a lot of personality to that.
Yeah, 100%. This is great. I really like this path for Vegeta going forward. But it gets even more interesting when we get another voice cutting into the conversation in Goku from Otherworld.
Yeah. And so I was wondering, is Goku just like kind of following Gohan around, just kind of listening to what he's doing? But either way, Goku butts in and he says that he's going to join the tournament as well. Fortune teller Baba has offered him a free day pass to Earth, and he's going to use it to enter the tournament.
Gohan's not this type of character, but now that you said that, I can't not think about Goku just like watching Gohan all the time, and Gohan in his me time having his father watch him.
Okay. All right. But Fortune Teller Baba, that's an old character, right? So I'm guessing this is the same thing we saw with like Grandpa Gohan coming back, right? It's Goku doing the same thing to go not only visit his son, but also fight him, which is the same thing that Gohan kind of did.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, this has everybody excited now, right? Like, Vegeta was going to join just to fight Gohan, but now that Goku's going to be entering the tournament, Vegeta has every reason to participate and also to get into shape for this fight, because he doesn't want to get bested by Kakarot again.
Yes, and all this kind of bleeds into, I'll just say, the next episode, which is episode 105, What's the Matter, Piccolo? An Unexpected Conclusion to the First Round. All this kind of bleeds over, because this builds into Gohan kind of spreading the word and everyone getting excited. And then we get some excellent, like, everyone's getting back into the training footage. We're introduced to Krillin, who's stopped shaving his head since he stopped fighting. So he's 7 years out of shape and got 7 years worth of hair on his head now. But, we see that him and 18 have a kid now. And after finding out that there's some prize money involved, Krillin's going to enter that fight. 18 does not give him a choice.
I love this. We kind of find, too, this might get revealed a little bit later, but we basically find out that Krillin, 18, and their daughter, Marin, which there's a lot to unpack with that one, but they've been living at Kame House with Master Roshi. And so you kind of get the impression like, okay, they don't have their own place. It's part of the reason probably why 18 wants the prize money, but we kind of get some characterization from 18 that she's, I don't know if I want to say greedy. She likes money. Let's put it that way.
I mean, that shouldn't be shocking considering when she was back on a rampage, one of the things she wanted to do was stop and try on like new clothes and stuff like that. So I'm sure there's a material side to 18 that we don't really see a lot of.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I don't know, maybe one of the few, we don't get a lot about 18, I feel like, but that's one of her few character traits in this part of the story. But we kind of get Gohan. He's basically rounding up the troops. He tells Piccolo, who's kind of hanging out on, I guess, what would be called Dende's lookout at this point. And Piccolo's interested because he wants to see Goku again. But Gohan also has to convince his mother to let him participate.
Yeah, and I actually like this conversation because Gohan is kind of like sitting at the dinner table and like he's kind of mentioning it under his breath, and Chi-Chi's like, oh my gosh, why didn't you like tell me earlier that your father was coming back? Oh, I'm so excited to see him. And he's like, and also I'd like to enter the tournament. And she's just like, well, how much is the prize money? And she's like, well, we were about to run out of my father's fortune. So yeah, absolutely. You should enter and you should win.
Yeah, there's something to be said for we get a lot of writing for materialistic women in this arc. But at the same time, they've got reason to be, right? One of them's living in an old man's house. The other one, her husband is fucking dead. So she has to take care of two children.
Like, view it. That one, I guess, as much as materialistic, it's more just she actually understands finances and she married a mountain man and, had mountain man babies. And so she's trying to like curb some intelligence into this family. So I think Chi-Chi's actually coming from a place of what's what I'm
pragmatism is the word that maybe is better than materialistic.
Yeah, so I'm like, no, like someone's got to take care of the finances. Do you think it's cheap feeding all those boys?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe pragmatic is a better word to describe it. They're both trying to, both 18 and Chi-Chi are trying to think about raising their families and supporting them, I suppose.
So for me, it's just like, yeah, they're actually taking care of some pretty darn important things. And,
oh,
yeah.
Because we know the Saiyans know. Certainly aren't taking care of it. Or yeah, Krillin,
I'm just happy we don't have another scene of Chi-Chi yelling at Gohan about fighting and stuff like that. I'm glad they just didn't go that direction again, because that kind of stuff, I got it at first, but sometimes it gets a little old.
Yes, I agree. We're actually going to find out, too. There's some good or some better characterization for Chi-Chi here coming up, too.
Yeah, there is actually, and we'll get into that, but I do want to touch on something here. We're also told that at around this time that Gohan has actually never met his father. And so this is a really big deal for him, because it'll be the first time and maybe the only time he ever gets to see his dad.
Yeah. I mean, we, as the audience, like we watched the Cell arc, right? The Cell arc was 7 years before this. So we find that Goten, he was born after the Cell arc, which is when Goku died and didn't come back. And so, yeah, Goten's lived his entire life with his mother, Chi-Chi, and his older brother, Gohan. And, you know, Gohan's, I'm sure, a great role model, but it's not the same as having your father around. So this is going to be, I don't know, it's going to be fun to get to see this, you know, 7-year-old boy meet with his father for the first time.
Yeah, and so with the tournament right around the corner, Gohan decides that he's going to begin doing some training with his little bro, and he's going to skip out on school for a little bit, which is huge, right? Especially considering Chi-Chi would normally never allow such a thing. And the first thing we find out during this training is that Gohan has severely underestimated Goten and is actually caught off guard by how strong his, I mean, what? How old is he? Like 5 or 6 or something like that?
He's 7 right now.
7? Yeah. His 7-year-old little brother is far more powerful than anyone has ever been at that age.
I love the way this is played out, too. Props to the Buu arc here, because I really like some of their training scenes in this sequence. This is really well done, where it's specifically Gohan, I think, even starts in his Super Saiyan form, where he asks Goten to throw rocks at him. And Gohan draws a line and says, all right, Goten, stand at this line, throw rocks at me. And it's very close. It looks like it's, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 feet away. And Goten's like, aren't I too close for this? And Gohan says, no, if anything, you should probably be closer for, you know, for it to be a real challenge for me. And he says, all right, Goten, throw the rocks as hard as you can. And Goten's like, all right. And he chucks the rock, almost clobbers Gohan right in the face. And Gohan is like, let's move you back like 20 feet.
Yeah, it's a great scene, right? And you see like the rock go like straight through the like little mountain behind him and like cut a hole straight through it where you can see daylight out the other end. It's super fun. And I love this training because as it continues, it gets even more impressive when Gohan asks if he's allowed to power up in that Super Saiyan thingy like his older brother.
Goten asks that. I think he keeps saying, yeah. Gohan. Too many goes in this naming convention.
Pile of them.
Yeah. But yeah, Goten says, hey, can I power up to that Super Saiyan thingy too? And Gohan's basically like, well, you know, maybe one day when you train enough and get strong enough. And then Goten just transforms into Super Saiyan.
Oh, it's hilarious. And you know, Gohan is of course just floored by this, right? He's 7 years old and a Super Saiyan. Like, I know Gohan was young when he got Super Saiyan, but this is just ridiculous. And on top of that, it's your first question is, how the hell did you learn how to do this? And this is where we get kind of a cool glimpse into the background where Chi-Chi had actually been doing some sparring with Goten on the side.
Which that's kind of the characterization that we were alluding to about Chi-Chi. And I think Gohan even has some personal dialogue where he's like, oh, wow, you know, mom has really lightened up a little bit since dad's death, since Goku died. You know, she would have never trained Gohan as a child how to fight. She's always pushed him to be into academics, but she's letting Gohan kind of grow up a little bit more like his father did.
You know, I gleaned something different, and that was she realized that Goten is smart like his father.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of different ways you could kind of take this, right? But
I mean, every single one of them. And as we'll see here pretty soon, honestly, him going Super Saiyan is already probably enough to show that he's kind of a, like, for a young kid, he's kind of got that fighting savant kind of thing going, right? I'm assuming he was able to kind of pick up on the idea of Super Saiyan just by probably watching Gohan transform.
Which is, again, not unlike Goku. Goku picked up on the Kamehameha watching Master Roshi shoot it one time. Another thing that I want to bring up, because, and I actually think I had Gohan's age incorrect in the last arc, because he's described as being 16 years old here. Gohan would have only been, so if we subtract 7 years, he would have been at most 9 years old when he went Super Saiyan himself, which is only, I mean, Goten could have been Super Saiyan, you know, he could have been a Super Saiyan for a few years now, potentially. But when we see the scene of him going Super Saiyan, it looks like he's around the same age. So Gohan was only a couple years older than Goten when he turned into a Super Saiyan. It's just that Gohan had to really struggle and train to get it, whereas Goten, it just happens.
Yeah, well, Gohan spent most of a year in the hyperbolic time chamber training with Goku. Like, you can't really be more set up for success than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas Gohan, or sorry, I'm doing it now too. Goten.
It's tough.
It's so hard to, yeah. Goten, basically, while sparring with his mother, just turned into a Super Saiyan, accidentally hitting her way harder than he had intended to.
So we get the little background into Goten and how he was able to achieve Super Saiyan. And the two, Goten and Gohan, are sparring. And Gohan kind of leaps up into the air at one point as he's being pushed back. And I love this. Goten looks up and says, "Hey, that's no fair. I can't fly. That's cheating." And I love that Goten figured out how to go Super Saiyan before he learned how to fly.
This is brilliant. Like, I mean, again, Goten has not had somebody teaching him how to fight, right? Gohan hasn't really trained with him. This is the first time we kind of get the impression that Gohan and Goten have trained together. And so the only training that Goten has had is from his mother. Chi-Chi doesn't know how to fly. She doesn't know how to channel ki. She doesn't use ki blasts. So Goten is basically just figuring out all of this other stuff on his own, and flying is one he hasn't figured out.
Well, speaking of flying, a certain Videl who has promised flying lessons shows up in her helicopter at around this point. And so Goten and Gohan go back to the house to meet up with Videl, where they find Chi-Chi having a shouting match with Videl over whether Videl is a boy chaser or not.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, it's kind of funny. Gohan and Videl both are pretty adamant that they are not interested in one another. But what I really love is the conversation transitions to the fact that Videl is the reason that Gohan is participating in the World Martial Arts Tournament. And that only sets Chi-Chi off more, because she went to the World Martial Arts Tournament to win over her husband.
Yeah. And Videl very quickly gets a glimpse of how abnormal Gohan's life is, how the people in Gohan's life are not like anything anyone else in the world probably has.
Yeah, 100%.
Because Chi-Chi starts swooning, right? She's like, "Oh, it was so romantic when I married your father at the World Martial Arts Tournament."
I really love the sequence too, because Chi-Chi basically tells Videl, "You're not going to marry my son at the World Martial Arts Tournament." And Videl's like, "Who would get married at the World Martial Arts Tournament? That's crazy." And then Goten says, "Oh, Mom, that must mean that you're crazy. You married Dad at a World Martial Arts Tournament."
Oh, it's so fun. It's so good. Oh, but that more or less wraps up that episode, which brings us into episode, oh, what are we on, 106?
I think that's right. I've lost track.
Yes, so did I. Oh, I'm sorry. It should be episode 104. I don't know. I've got too many episode names written down.
It might be 104.
Okay. Either way, Videl, worn ragged, Gohan's anger at its limits, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the flying lessons begin, and we've got the two most opposite of students right now, with Videl, who is kind of dead serious, all focus, and Goten, who is a child and not very focused. And they're both standing before Gohan, who probably doesn't really want to be training either of them right now.
He's never taught anyone how to fight, right? Like, he's had multiple teachers himself, mostly in Goku and Piccolo, but he's never taught people ki control. He's never taught fighting. So this is new to him. And you can kind of tell as he's trying to figure out like how to explain things, but he's basically saying, okay, you kind of channel your energy, like the power that you have inside of you. And then Goten says, "Yeah, like this," and fires a ki blast at a rock. And Videl's jaw just drops as she watches this child blast a rock with a laser beam.
Oh, I mean, it's fun. Also, this is episode 104, just to confirm.
Perfect.
And Gohan realizes that he's got to get Videl up to speed, because in order to be able to fly, you have to be able to control your energy, right? And so this transitions into lessons on how to control your energy, how to draw it out, and how to control it. And I love this because Goten's able to do it effortlessly, right? And we see Videl sitting there kind of struggling, and it's taking pretty much all of her energy and might to try and get anything to happen. And this is definitely a measuring stick moment, not just for Videl and Goten and Gohan, right? But it also gives us our stick against how colossal these warriors are.
It's fun getting to watch. I mean, Videl is extraordinary in the, you know, the everyday average human world, but by Z Fighter standards, she is ordinary. And so it's fun getting to see this ordinary person come to terms with the vast amount of power that these Z Fighters have.
Yeah, with how far things have come along since, you know, day one of original Dragon Ball, because original Goku was not that far out of the ordinary, right? He was just kind of strong and had a monkey tail. I can deal with that. That's within the realm of possibilities, but we've grown with that. So we've gone through all these little incremental steps along the entire path to just show up where things are now currently. I mean, it would be so alien. It'd be hard to even comprehend.
Yeah. Yeah. It is pretty wild, but Videl's doing her best to kind of get a hang of what is, you know, she's kind of swimming in the deep end now as she tries to learn how to control her energy. But we do see Goten starts to get the hang of it. Once he stops messing around and really sticks his nose to the grindstone, he ends up kind of hovering and floating, eventually falling, but he's got a little bit of a handle on the flight, whereas Videl is still not quite figuring it out. But she does slowly start to like lift her feet off of the ground on her first day of training.
And I will say there is a scene kind of in the middle of this where it shows Goku training with King Kai, right? And it's a funny little scene where Goku's training and he's getting ready for the big tournament, right? And I like that. I like that it shows that Goku's also getting stronger while Vegeta's getting stronger, yada, yada. Well, Goku's apparently training with like 2-ton weights on. And then South Kai shows up and, you know, he starts gloating about his warrior. And so King Kai kicks it up to 10 tons apiece. And then Goku goes Super Saiyan and starts punching away and everyone's amazed. How much is 2 tons really at this point? How much is 10 tons really at this point?
It's hard to gauge, right? Like it to us as normal people, it sounds like a lot, like a... How much does a car weigh? Like a sedan weighs like 2 tons or something?
Roughly.
So it's like Goku basically swinging around a car on each of his limbs to start and then stack 4 more cars on top of that. Like, I don't know. He has to go Super Saiyan to swing them around. I'm so torn on the scene because I agree with you. I like that it shows that Goku's training and he's getting stronger. And I will always enjoy a moment for Goku to flex on people, but South Kai, I'm pretty sure, is non-canon. He's a filler character.
That's funny.
Like, and the Cell arc for Kai, outside of a tiny little montage of clips, almost completely skipped the other world tournament with PyCon and with the South Kai, East and West Kai. But here, for whatever silly reason, we get this moment with South Kai. I don't know. I feel like they could have cut this out and I would have not missed anything.
So I just had to point it out just because it's a training scene. I will judge it against other training scenes. It's whatever, I guess, but it's just nice to see that Goku is training.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason they kept it in, and maybe as a way to pad out the episode. I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, like you said, Goten's picking up flying pretty quick. Eventually Videl is able to kind of lift her feet off the ground a little bit. And I mean, Gohan's being, I think, an excellent teacher here, even though he's kind of reluctant to be a teacher. He's very supportive. He's, you know, Videl's learning, Goten's learning, you know, everything seems to be kind of going well. But the day of training wraps up and Gohan makes a comment towards Videl as she's getting ready to leave about how she should think about cutting her hair short. And Videl blushes for a moment and says, "Why, do you like girls with short hair?" And he's like, "Well, no, I think as a fighter, it would be a disadvantage to have," like, just completely misreads the moment.
I love this. Again, Gohan's been raised in the middle of nowhere. He's a country bumpkin, much like his father. And so he doesn't understand these social cues, especially in terms of flirting or understanding that someone's interested in you. So this is a great moment. You can tell you're starting to get the feeling that Videl has a thing for Gohan at this point. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of funny. This is one of those ones where I'm glad they left this character building moment in, whereas some of the other ones probably not so much needed, but it's fun. And it lets you kind of know where things are going, like you said.
Yeah, I totally agree. We do get a brief shot of 18 and Krillin training.
I love training. Show me that stuff. I love seeing people get stronger.
Yeah, I like that's the one reason I'm okay with them leaving that Goku scene in, because, and again, that's probably why they left it in, because all these shots are of people training. We get to see Vegeta and Trunks training in 150 times gravity, where Trunks is struggling to walk, and we see Vegeta's already in his Super Saiyan form, but Trunks says, "Oh, you know, I know, I'll just go Super Saiyan," and does so and begins running around at super speed.
Yeah, and Vegeta is kind of floored by this. And his first thought is, I need to know if this Super Saiyan form is the real thing or some cheap knockoff Super Saiyan form. I want to know how strong my son is. And so he makes a wager with Trunks. He says, "If you can land a blow on me, I will take you to whatever that amusement park you've been talking about is." And Trunks is like, "All right, deal, like, I'm gonna hit you and you're gonna take me to the park." And I don't know, do you want to describe the scene? Because I think this scene's actually a little brutal.
I like it a lot, but yes, it is definitely brutal, as Trunks gives it his all, dives in towards Vegeta's head and just extends out a flurry of blows. Vegeta's blocking and dodging most of them. However, Trunks does manage at least a little bit of a scrape on Vegeta's cheek, after which Vegeta retaliates with a full-on haymaker right to Trunks's nose and knocks the 8-year-old child on his ass.
Yeah, Vegeta just decks this 8-year-old. And I mean, just like big red fist-shaped mark right in the center of this child's face. But he makes it all better by saying, "Yes, we can go to the amusement park."
Yeah, I mean, Trunks is in tears, right? Like, I don't know. This is fantastic. Like, it starts to, again, we're getting those measuring sticks. Like, this shows us how powerful Goten and Trunks are. For Trunks to even deliver a glancing blow to his father, Vegeta, who, from our perspective, is at bare minimum, like, top three most powerful fighters that we're aware of at the moment.
Yeah, and Trunks is 8 years old at this point.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a colossal difference in age, and I mean, also probably experience too. Just Vegeta is one of the most experienced, seasoned warriors that we've seen. And Trunks is a kid, right? And I know that they've done some sparring, but they haven't done that much sparring.
Yeah, this is wild. Also, quick nod to Dragon Ball Super for capitalizing on or doing a throwback to the park scene with Vegeta and Trunks. I love that they actually tied that into this little detail.
Yes, I actually had forgotten about this scene when they did it in Super. I was just like, what the heck did they do that? But yeah, sure enough, they remembered. So good on them. We do flip over to Piccolo, who's doing my least favorite form of training.
He's a bug zapper.
the whole meditating to get stronger thing, I do not like. I don't mind meditating being a part of your training, but that's all we see him doing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. I guess the only good thing about it is that we are getting to see different types of training amongst all of our different combatants who will be participating. So, I mean, it's nice to see one of them meditating, I guess.
That's true. So, yeah, Piccolo's thinking he's thinking really hard about fighting, so he's getting better. And then this episode ends with Videl arriving for another day of training, but with her brand new haircut.
I also love Gohan here expressing, "I don't understand women at all." that's a great line.
All right. So now this is episode 105, which is "What's the Matter, Piccolo?" An unexpected conclusion to the first round. And this one begins with Videl being able to float high now. Like, we kind of skip forward in her training a little bit. She's able to actually kind of maintain actual levels of flight to some degree, but Goten is flying around like an airplane. Like, he is a little birdie, and he is kind of making Videl feel bad about her progress.
Yeah, and Gohan basically asks Goten to cool it on the flying and zipping around when Videl's around, so that Videl is basically feels better about her progress. We also start to dive into Videl's psyche here. I really like the conversation that they have here, as Videl talks about her father, Mr. Satan, and him being, you know, the world champion. And we find out that Mr. Satan will not spar with Videl, or has not sparred with Videl in quite some time. And Gohan basically internally expresses, "Yeah, I can understand why, because you are way stronger than your father."
Yeah, I like that. No, which, I mean, we've had kind of, I guess, clues that Mr. Satan has not been training really at all since the Cell Games. He's been sitting around just chasing women, signing autographs, being on camera, but we've had kind of little clue-ins that he really hasn't been fighting or doing much of anything since that event.
He's been kind of riding out that high life as the savior of the earth who defeated Cell. And the other interesting part here, though, is that we understand now that Videl views her father as the most powerful person on the planet. She basically says, like, "Oh no, I wouldn't even stand a chance against my dad. He would clobber me." And it's like, "Ooh, girl, your whole worldview is about to be turned upside down."
And I mean, like, when the Cell Games happened, she was roughly the same age as Gohan. So she was roughly, what, 8 or 9 years old? So,
yeah,
I mean, that probably left a really long lasting impression in her mind of, like, my dad is not just like a good martial artist, but he saved the world. He is, like, incalculably powerful.
Yeah, like, there's nothing against Videl for believing that. I mean, the whole planet basically believes it, right? And she was a child.
The city they live in is named after her dad.
Yeah, they changed the name of the city. I think it was West City. They got changed to Satan City because of Mr. Satan saving the world. Like, that's gonna, growing up with that as a child, that's gonna definitely create a complex for your parent in that point.
Well, and speaking of weird family things, Gohan decides to avoid explaining really what's going on with his dad because of how complicated that situation is. And so he kind of lets Videl just believe that, you know, his dad's just kind of out of the picture sort of thing. And there's like some prize money stuff happening. And so like she came up with a story and he was just like, "Yeah, it's that. I'm not going to explain that my dad's actually, like, the person who beat Cell and saved the world and died in the fight, but he's still going to be there."
Isn't this also the scene where Goten kind of lets it slip that their father's dead, and then Videl basically is like, "Oh, you know, he's your parents are divorced. Like, that's what's going on here."
Exactly. Yep. And Gohan's like, "Yep, you figured it out. You got it." Oh, but yeah, after their little bit of family talk, and finishing the day of flight training, Videl actually decides to fly back home with her new achieved power, which is pretty cool. And then Goten and Gohan begin their real intense training. So while Vegeta and Goku and all the others have been training their butts off, Gohan's been training Videl and Goten and flying, but not actually getting stronger himself.
Right. And we kind of get a little bit more of a training montage here. There is a kind of a fun scene watching Videl just go to town on a punching bag and just knock the sand out of it completely. We get to see Goten and Gohan. That is,
I know,
killing
it's just
me too.
It's hard because you got Goten, Gohan, and Goku. Like, good luck.
I but Gohan and Goten fighting both in Super Saiyan, now both of them being able to fly, which is cool. But all of this kind of pushes forward into the day of the tournament as our Z Fighters kind of travel to the tournament arena themselves. And the first thing they're looking for as they get there is to see if they can find Goku.
Yeah, and also as they're making their way there, Gohan asks everybody to avoid going Super Saiyan at this tournament. And he asked them because everyone who watched the Cell games on TV was familiar with their golden forms. They watched those happen live on the broadcast. And so if they see them transform, they might draw the publicity that they garnered at the Cell games, which means paparazzis and a normal life is out the window. So everyone more or less agrees. Right. Also, Krillin's happy because he might actually stand a chance if there's none of that Super Saiyan shenanigan going on.
Man, Piccolo would be, like, I was thinking about this, if they don't turn Super Saiyan, Piccolo has a significant chance of winning it.
Yeah, Piccolo is kind of a big dog on the block there. And I mean, honestly, that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes it such that it might not just be, you know, Goku or Vegeta or Gohan who wins the fight, or who wins the whole tournament, rather. But this kind of turns into, like, as they get to the tournament arena, we get the entrance of Mr. Satan. We get everybody, you know, basically praising and worshiping him as if he were a god.
I love that entrance, too, because he's like, you know, he's got the arms up. He's got his cape. He's like, yeah, he's screaming. He's boisterous. And Videl kind of just doesn't care about the spotlight. Like, she's just kind of enduring it. She's not there for the pictures or cameras. She's there to do business.
Mr. Satan knows how to work a crowd. I think even Krillin actually gives some props to Mr. Satan for really just hamming it up and getting the crowd excited about what's going on today.
It's fun. It's character building. And it's a very, like, it's a good way to have a brief moment that adds a lot of characterization to two people standing next to each other. We get to see not only how great Mr. Satan is at something, but we get to see how that contrasts his own daughter. And so it's a great little scene, right? And it's also maybe Videl has changed since she started her training with Gohan. I don't know, but maybe that was something that she was working on before but doesn't care about anymore. Who knows? I don't know. I would need to look into it more.
Yeah, it's tough to say because we don't get as much time with Videl prior to her interacting with Gohan. But at the very, I mean, you could even kind of infer that maybe she's just sick of all this stuff. Like she kind of expressed that a tiny bit to Gohan where she's like, yeah, my dad's just running around with all the women and, you know, he's hamming it up. He's not really focusing on training in martial arts, it feels like, whereas focusing on martial arts is kind of her priority.
And
so
she's trying to kind of follow her dad in his footsteps, right? She's trying to be that same amazing warrior that she views her father. But I mean, she's seen the legend on TV and she's heard the stories, but she doesn't see it anymore. She sees a very different man than what the rest of society has shown. And I could see how you would be sick of that. But
it's
there's a lot to read into it. I think Videl's actually a very well-written character. And oddly enough, I think Hercule's not a bad written character either.
I'm not gonna lie. I like Mr. Satan a lot, especially as we move through this arc. But we kind of move forward as our Z Fighters. They collect Piccolo and then they do run into Goku, who's gotten his one day on Earth to fight in the tournament from fortune teller Baba. And we see Goku with his halo. Everybody is like running over to say hi to Goku, to give him hugs and everything. And the moment kind of transitions to Goten kind of like hiding behind his mother's legs, but like looking at Goku like, who is this guy? And Goku's like, Chi-Chi, there's a kid who looks just like me hiding behind you.
Yeah, and I mean, I love it because Goten's really unsure of this man who's supposed to be his father, right? He's never met him. And so he's kind of peering out from behind Chi-Chi, and Goku kind of leans over and gives that look and then gives that patented smile. And that's when Goten kind of jumps out and runs over, and we get the good old, you know, father-son embraces as Goku picks up Goten, holds him in the air. He makes a mention like, oh, what has Chi-Chi been feeding you rocks? You're heavy. And just, you know, everyone's laughing. It's this really kind of heartwarming moment as Goten's able to meet his dad for the first time.
Yeah, it's really good. The dialogue here is good. I sent you, Dayton, the clip of the original. I've been harping on the music for Dragon Ball Z Kai for a while. The music in this scene kills me, man. Like, it feels like some sort of like happy, goofy music, like if I were playing a arcade machine or a pinball machine. And the music from the Faulkner score is much more emotional. It feels like it fits the tone of this scene much more, like kind of like a little bit of melancholy, but also like upbeat and hopeful. So I like the dialogue. They improved the dialogue quite a bit, but I was just like, the music is just killing me.
I 100% agree on this. I didn't like the music in Kai. Normally I give things a pass and I'm like, I didn't detract either. I do think the music was a detriment to the weight of this situation. I wish they should have just kept the original score. I think the music doesn't allow you to, I mean, the music should help you appreciate the moment, not work against it. And that's what I felt like it was doing here.
Yeah, I very much agree, but I won't harp on that too much because I've beaten that horse to death. So we kind of move forward as our Z Fighters sign up for the tournament, and they do find out that for the first time in their time participating in the World Martial Arts tournaments, that there is a junior division for children 15 and under. And Trunks in particular is pissed off. He's like, man, I want to fight with the adults. This is gonna suck.
So, okay, what do you think about them introducing the junior division to the World Martial Arts tournament? Do you think it's a good thing? Because I think it's safe to say that this was specifically introduced here so that way we could get a fight between Goten and Trunks. That feels like the entire purpose to me, but I wasn't sure if you had any other feelings or if you think that's a good or a bad thing.
I agree with you, and that's a good question. I think that it was specifically put in place here. I think that this is continuing the theme that we've had in this entire arc of showing just how outclassed normal people are from our Z Fighters. And we're going to find out here shortly that Goten and Trunks, they have no competition whatsoever in the junior division. They, as a 7 and 8 year old, they're outclassing children who are twice their age. Like, and I think that Videl and Mr. Satan and the rest of the audience getting to see that is a big important part of the story that's being told here. So I think, as I'm kind of talking it out, I think it's a good thing. I think it could have been fun to see the kids fight the adults, but we'll find out through this tournament that the tournament itself is not the important part here.
That's true. And I guess the only other thing that I could point out is it was nice setting up a situation where all the parents could watch the kids and kind of react to them. And we get kind of their stance and things when they're not participating, right? We get to see Bulma and Chi-Chi being proud of their children. We get to see Goku, and we get to see Vegeta kind of looking down at their prodigy. It builds a fairly good dynamic. So I guess I do like it. I do feel like it's crafted for this specific situation, but I'm okay with it because it does improve it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it feels like it's crafted for the situation, but it also doesn't feel like outlandish. Like, if you have a tournament and children are fighting adults, it seems It's scary. But, you know, that's because of that, we got to see all of the cool fights with Goku in the original Dragon Ball. So
that's true. But anyway, so at this point, everyone goes and signs up for the tournament. The kids are in the junior division, which is obviously no fun for them. We get a weird moment where Goku asks Krillin how the whole dating an android and having a kid thing works out. I laughed at that because I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a question that Goku might ask.
I think that's hilarious. I additionally think it's hilarious. I think it's maybe at the tail end of this episode. No, it's in the next episode, but Krillin has some words for Gohan and Videl, which also kind of made me laugh.
But I don't know. I laughed about that. Videl shows off that her flying skills are great now, which is semi-important. But yeah, that more or less wraps up this episode, which brings us into episode 106. This is the one called Videl Worn Ragged, Gohan's Anger at Its Limits. And the Z Fighters, I don't know why this episode is called that, but yeah. The Z Fighters make their way to the waiting area, and they're greeted by a familiar face. It's Mr. Announcer Man, the guy who apparently is the only guy who does the World Martial Arts Tournament announcing. Does he have a name, or is his name Announcer Man?
I'm pretty sure he's just called the announcer guy or the announcer man. I'll see if I can quickly find if there's anything contrary.
Say, this
to
whole
that.
In all the episodes we've watched and everything I've seen, I've not actually heard a name. But if they don't actually say a name, I don't want some like off screen, like technically canon. Like, no, he's Mr. Announcer Man at this point. I've dubbed it. But I love this guy because he recognizes all the Z Fighters as they enter, and he even runs over and kind of, you know, says hi, and he says, oh yeah, you know, I recognize you guys, and kind of nudges them and says, we all know who actually beat Cell, am I right? And I thought that was just really cool.
This might be an over exaggeration to say this, but the Announcer Man might be one of my favorite characters in Dragon Ball.
I mean, like, he's been here since the freaking beginning, man. He's one of the oldest characters in the show.
There is, yeah, absolutely. And there is something that I just absolutely love about the fact that this man has watched Goku grow up, has watched Goku throughout all of his trials and tribulations. And while he hasn't seen, you know, like Goku fight Frieza and all that stuff, he gets to kind of see the aftermath and the after effects. And the fact that he is maybe the one normal person outside of Goku's like close friend group who knows that Goku was the one who saved the world and knows just how fucking powerful Goku and his friends are. There is something super endearing about that for the Announcer Man, and I just absolutely love that about him.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, you guys are all freakishly powerful, what's up? Like, he's just cool with them. Like, he doesn't treat them any differently. He's just, I don't know. That's a cool guy. I'd invite that guy over to hang out. He just seems like that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's even, in fact, excited to see them because he's like, man, the tournaments have been garbage without you guys here.
That's true. So, yeah, from here, we find out that I guess too many fighters have signed up this year or something. So you have to punch a punch machine to weak out the people with weak punches. I don't really get it, but I guess we're doing this.
I don't know. It kind of makes for a funny gag, I guess. It's also a weird way to gauge who should participate in a tournament, right? Like, there are other facets of fighting besides
strength. I knew you would bring up kind of the nuance of like an actual martial arts tournaments where it's like, what about the guy who specializes in grappling people? He doesn't need to punch hard.
Exactly, right? But I mean, I don't think that this is the case, but this could maybe be seen as Akira Toriyama's internal commentary on his own ridiculousness of the only thing that matters at this point is people's power.
Oh, so yeah, it's here's power level, baby. So I guess you could look at it as Hercule's the first person to go up and punch, and his power level is 137. Does that work? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. It's supposed to be measuring like punch strength, I guess, but you could kind of equate it to power level. Like Master Roshi's power level, I think, was supposed to be something I think was measured at some point around like 200 or 300. So it could be comparable to that.
Either way, Hercule goes first. He punches like 137. All the Z fighters are trying to do their best to hold back because, I mean, they could annihilate this thing if they wanted, right? And so 18 goes up first, and she like barely hits it, and it hits like 700, right? And everyone's just like, oh gosh, like the machine must have bugged out or something. We got to do it again. And even Krillin's like, I told you to hold back. What are you doing? And 18's like, it's hard to be this weak. It's so funny.
It's part of the reason why I actually do like the punch machine thing, because it's a good gag for our Z fighters, for them to try, like they're trying their hardest to not hit this thing too hard.
Well, most of them are trying their hardest.
Like 18 is a great one to start with because she kind of doesn't give a shit either. And then we kind of get, I think, Goku and Piccolo and Krillin, and they're all of them are just tapping it. Like they're doing like the tiniest little punches that they can do. And they're all of them are still blowing Mr. Satan's strongest punch out of the water as far as numbers go. But Vegeta doesn't give a fuck about this machine.
Yes. Vegeta, who, let me remind you, is a jackass, just punches this thing and just trashes, just it flies across the entire area they're in and just smashes into the wall. And not only is the machine destroyed, but now everybody, including Gohan, have to wait for a new one to be set up.
Yeah, and Videl is basically like, there, who are these people? Like, she's even telling Gohan, like, aren't you shocked? And Gohan's trying to act like he's surprised until Goku and the others walk over and say, oh, hey, Gohan, who's your new friend?
Yeah, and because Videl's really like untrusting of them, right? He's like, something's really shady about them until that they walk up and say hi. And then Videl's like, wait, you know those people? And Gohan's like, yeah, that's actually my dad. And she's like, wait, I thought you said your dad was dead. What is going on?
Like, yeah, he is dead. You see the halo? That's the real deal.
It's just, it's so ridiculous. And just, I don't know, it is kind of funny to see a normal person being just thrown into the deep end of all this craziness.
Yeah, this is the scene where Krillin kind of says something. He's like, hey, Gohan, you got yourself a cute one there, eh?
I love Krillin. Make it awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, the Z fighters who were able to punch the punch machine leave, which leaves Gohan and Videl waiting in line, which turns out doesn't really matter that much. But the rest of them go to watch the junior division, which is about to start, which means that they're going to be able to watch Goten and Trunks actually perform in the tournament right after they watch a recreation of Hercule or, you know, Mr. Satan defeating Cell on a giant screen. I don't know why they left it in here, but my only comment is that the beginning little snippet where they show like the studio or whatever is like the same as in real life where they do the splashing rocks.
Oh yeah, that's true. The ZTV thing. That's pretty funny.
So I thought that was kind of funny. Otherwise, that whole thing could have been cut.
Yeah, 100%. But we basically get the Cell Games bobblehead edition. I mean, some of this we could probably kind of skip through, but basically a bunch of Goten and Trunks end up fighting. Well, we don't quite get to that. They basically get bullied by some older boys.
Oh, yeah.
To start. And
they have like hillbilly voices. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, the only thing that I will say that I do like about this is, again, the writing between Goten and Trunks here being so, being very good, because this bully comes over saying like he's going to beat the snot out of Trunks because they're matched up in the first round, and he like throws a punch that stops right before Trunks's face. Trunks completely no-sells it, doesn't respond to the punch at all, and full on tells this dude off. He's like, go leave me alone. Like, you are not worth my time. Like, clearly showing the Vegeta in his upbringing.
But I mean, he's correct, right? Like, Trunks is not wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, good on Trunks for standing up for himself. It's just funny to see the way that he does it is very Vegeta.
Oh, I love. Well, this situation continues into the next episode, which is episode 107, Secrets of the Terror. Wait, what is going on with this episode list?
I'm
on Kazenshu, and I didn't realize there's some weird naming stuff going on in here that's not matching up, so.
You know what? You might be, we talked about there are two different versions. You might be on the
That's why
other
this whole
version.
Thing, oh, that's gotta be why. Let me see how many episodes there are.
Hey guys, like we said, this episode shit is real confusing.
This goes up to 159 total.
So on Kazenshu, there's an international version and then there's the Japanese version. We want the international version, I think, is the...
Oh my gosh. I apologize. That international version also starts at episode one. I messed this whole thing up.
Yeah, so some of our episode names might have been a little bit incorrect, but once again, as you can tell, the production of the Boo arc or the final chapters has been just a whole hot mess.
All right. I'm going to stop with the episode names at this point because it's already all dorked up.
I've kind of got the dub name here for this episode title. It is Everyone is Surprised, Goten and Trunks' Super Battle.
Okay. All right. Super Battle, which is episode 107, begins with the kids kind of duking it out, and it's kind of lighthearted. Kids are kind of crying and throwing temper tantrums and swinging at each other. Like, it's very, very kiddie, but it's also very different than I guess what you're used to seeing at a world martial arts tournament. Like, even when Goku originally went, there weren't like kids crying and stuff like that. So this is a very, very dumbed down version with very kid-like kids.
Yeah, it's setting the tone, though. Once again, it's showing how different our Z Fighters are from the norm. And it does kind of run into the fight between Trunks and the 15-year-old kid. I think it's Idosa, I think is the first one. But he, again, is just kind of talking shit. And Trunks is basically like, the kid says... I think Ikosa says, give me your best shot. And Trunks says, that's not going to happen. You're not worth my best shot.
I mean, it's definitely the Vegeta way of saying, like, you definitely don't want that.
After which, Trunks finishes this fight in two blows, sweeping Ikosa's leg out from under him and then knocking him up into the air. Actually, it might be a third blow as he knocks him back to the ground. But Ikosa's out, like completely knocked out. And Trunks doesn't even wait for the announcement that he's won. He just walks out of the ring.
Yeah, the fight's over. The bully's beaten. And Bulma's proud of her son. So, you know, the day's won. The bully was destroyed. But don't worry. The bully hillbilly has a brother, and that brother is fighting Goten. And I like that Goku's excited to see Goten enter the arena for the first time. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, Goku's just like, I'm just proud of my kid for being here.
I love it. I mean, I love Goku's reaction to that. I also love Krillin's reaction to that, which is something like, you already know who's going to win. Why are you so excited?
Well, announcer man immediately recognizes that Goten is definitely Goku's kid, right? They are the spitting image of each other. And I love that he is somebody who would notice that. He's somebody who was there when Goku was that size and in the World Martial Arts Tournament. So this must have been just like massive deja vu for him.
It's a great detail. This is another part where I wanted to kind of zoom in on this because, again, excellent writing for Trunks and Goten, whereas Trunks full on like did, you know, trash talking, didn't give a shit about the other kid that he was fighting. Goten is the opposite of that. Goten has that very Goku personality, even without having Goku around to influence him. He's just very much his father's son. As he stops and he bows to show respect to his opponent. And then as this other kid, Idasa, attacks Goten, Goten, you know, easily blocks it with one finger and then blocks a kick with his arm. And Goten's kind of like, hey, don't take it easy on me. Like, let's fight for real. Like, to Goten, he doesn't realize how ridiculously strong he is. Like, he's naive. He's grown up in a in the middle of nowhere like Gohan did.
It's so possible that Goten has never encountered a regular person.
It very much could be. So to him, he just assumes that other people are as strong as he is. And so he's like, what are you doing? Fight me for real.
Yeah. And it's eventually he realizes like, oh, you are fighting me for real. And just it's just like one little pop punch that sends this kid flying. And like Goten's like disappointed, right? He's just like, oh, this is what this tournament's going to be. That realization that this isn't going to be fun until I fight Trunks.
Yeah, like Trunks, by contrast, understood. Like, that's why he didn't want to fight in the kids category, is because he knew the only person that was even going to remotely challenge him was Goten. Whereas Goten just kind of assumed other people were going to be as strong as him and Trunks.
Goten's like, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
So anyway, the two Saiyan kids make their way through the tournament, no problem. And finally, we get to the championship round where Goten and Trunks are preparing to square off.
Yeah. And so this fight, I mean, this one's interesting, right? Like, it's not the best fight in terms of choreography and everything. It's not a terrible one. It's kind of mid-level, I would say, but it starts off fun. Like they charge at each other. There's lots of like speed lines for punches and kicks, and they're kind of like flying around in the sky. And our Z fighters are super stoked to see them fight. Finally, the rest of the crowd is just jaws hanging open as they watch this 7 and 8 year old fly around the sky, beating the snot out of each other.
I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? Especially when you've got the contrast of just before these kids were like crying when they got hit, and they were like hiding behind the announcer man. And just, I mean, it was very childish. This is a real serious fight, and it's beyond anything anyone has probably ever seen. It's really cool, though, because you get to see kind of the Z fighters just kind of watching it, whereas everyone else can't believe what they're seeing.
Yeah. And there's like, you know, constant after image techniques as they it looks like they're teleporting, like dodging elbows and kicks and punches. Like, it looks cool. And some of the people can't believe what they're seeing. There's even a cool moment where Trunks gets the better of Goten, almost knocking him out of the arena, where Goten kind of like flips over, catching himself with his new flight ability, and then charges back in at Trunks, bashing him with a full-on headbutt, which I love because it feels very Goku. That is something Goku would do.
And I mean, it's after a while of this, the crowd kind of realizes that they're into it, like they accept it, and their silent awe turns into cheers as they watch these two just behemoths of children just duking it out in front of them.
Yeah, there's a great moment where they like Trunks and Goten trade punches, where you get the simultaneous like their cheeks turned into the impact. It's just fun to watch, right? But Videl is like, what is happening right now? And Mr. Satan is even more terrified.
Satan is having some PTSD at this point, is what he's having. He's not sure what to think. This is that kind of flying stuff and just unbelievable speed and power that he experienced 7 years ago.
Yeah. And I think we kind of pause in the middle of this fight to skip over to the next episode.
Yes, which is not correct on my screen. So that is episode 10 or 108. And it starts with Goku and the Z fighters looking on, and they're really impressed with how far along these kids are, right? They're taking a moment to kind of appreciate how much more powerful they are at their age than they were.
Yeah, vastly so. The funny thing here to me, too, is, well, I guess we need to move forward into the fight a little bit, but there's some interesting dialogue between our other bystander Z fighters as Trunks pulls back to deliver a ki blast. Gohan's like, oh, shit, this is going to be bad. And Goku's like, let them do it. They're fine.
Oh, yeah. Goku's just like chill with it. He's They'll figure it out. And so, I mean, Trunks fires the Ki Blast and Goten avoids it. And Trunks is able to just like barely at the last second just lift the blast up and deflect it off into the air. But I mean, it was within feet of probably killing a lot of people.
It's really cool. And it also really shows Trunks's mastery over ki and over energy in general. Like the fact that Trunks is able to not only fire this Ki Blast, but also use his, like, he flicks his hands up to redirect the Ki Blast to avoid murdering people in the stands, which, now that I'm thinking about it, to be a little bit spoilery.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
This has a really good connection to Vegeta in the stands later on.
Yeah, series. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but that has some implications later on.
Yeah, I actually really like that parallel. I only just realized
put a pin in that. But I do like that Trunks, it takes effort for him to control it, though, right? That he's able to do it. He does have mastery over it, but he probably also had little kid short-sightedness of he didn't think about controlling it until after it missed. And so it was that panic, like, oh, shoot, I didn't think past that. All right, yep, save the day, cool.
Yeah, that's a fair point. We kind of get to see Goten then basically trying to match Trunks.
I think this is even funnier.
Because Goten basically says, like, oh, I'm going to use my Ki Blast now. And he fires off a Kamehameha.
Yeah, he's like, even Trunks is like, you're saying it wrong, but it still works. The kid's a damn savant and it still works, and it's fired off and it basically misses Trunks on its own. Trunks doesn't have to move very much, and it blasts off just a part of the building behind him, where thankfully there are no people.
Right, like, I mean, Goten's pretty innocent, we've already kind of established that, but this also kind of shows the difference between Trunks and Goten in this fight. Like, Goten is powerful, but Trunks has been training with his father, whereas Goten hasn't had anybody to really train him, especially not in ki control, outside of, you know, Chi-Chi's taught him martial arts, but that's all Chi-Chi knows is martial arts.
Yeah, but they both agree that energy blast, probably not a great idea at this point, and so They're going to move back to hand-to-hand combat. And this is where Trunks moves in on the attack, kind of catching Gohan flat-footed and getting him out from under his feet and tossing him up into the air. And then he catches him from behind as Gohan's kind of fleeing, kind of, or being thrown through the air. And he gets Gohan in this rear hold. And we see Goten. I keep saying Gohan.
You keep saying Gohan. Goten for Goten, everybody. Whatever. We've messed this up multiple times, both of us.
The other failure son of Goku. So Goten is kind of put in this kind of double arm hold, and Goten's sitting there and he's struggling. He can't get out of it. And we see his frustration building as Trunks slowly continues tightening his grip. And it's at this point that I consider this a rule break, because Goten is forced to pop into his Super Saiyan form to break free.
It's a weird circumstance, right? Because this is not a rule by the tournament or the people who are running the tournament. This is a self-imposed limitation that the Z Fighters have put on themselves that they all agreed to. But Goten did break that self-imposed rule to overpower Trunks and break the hold. He did get out of it. The hilarious part here to me is getting a view of our Z Fighters on the sidelines, where Goku is like, holy shit, these kids can go Super Saiyan. And Vegeta says, Kakarot, you know that's cheating, right?
Goku wasn't there for that part of the conversation, though. Goku wasn't on the plane when Gohan made that request.
Oh, yeah. The thing that's funny to me, though, too, is the fact that Vegeta is yelling at Goku for Goten going Super Saiyan. Goku has no control over this. Vegeta is just, you know, basically superimposing this competition between Goku and Vegeta onto Trunks and Goten, their sons, which I fucking love. Oh,
that's hilarious. Yeah, it is. It's a pride match at this point. It's I love how petty Vegeta is, like, because that's kind of a petty thing, right? Like, my kid is better than your kid.
Yeah, 100%. But that's what this fight is for Vegeta, which is hilarious to me.
Well, I do love that. Speaking of Vegeta, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree at all, apparently, because Trunks points out, you know, Goten not only cheated, but Goten doesn't actually stand a chance in this fight, and that Trunks is going to close this one out with one of his arms tied behind his back. He's going to beat Goten with one hand.
Yeah, so again, expressing that ego that Vegeta has clearly imparted onto Trunks. And admittedly, Trunks has been winning this fight. No doubts about it. It's close, but Trunks has definitely had the upper hand. And so this kind of turns into they have a brief exchange with Trunks still limiting himself to one hand. And then Goten kind of takes to the air and he basically starts a dive bomb straight down at Trunks. And this turns into Trunks basically getting ready to just dodge out of the way. And it kind of looks like Goten is going to just run straight into the arena floor. But he actually does a really cool move where he blasts a ki blast into the ground to redirect his momentum to quickly get on Trunks' tail.
I love this sort of thing. It reminds me of when Goku like rode the Kamehameha with his feet. Being able to use your energy to redirect yourself, or actually, I think he even uses a ki blast to dodge one of Frieza's attacks too early on. So
he does.
We've seen Goku do this sort of thing twice. I love that Goten kind of instinctually went to a move like this.
It's awesome. Again, like kind of like you said, Goten is demonstrating that he's kind of a fighting savant like his father. And this catches Trunks off guard. So much so that Trunks has to turn Super Saiyan to dodge around behind Goten, blasting him with the arm he said he wouldn't use, firing a ki blast into Goten's back and knocking Goten just barely far enough to touch outside of the ring.
Yeah, and even though Goten more or less kept himself from cratering, just his little feetsies just barely touching the stands was enough to get him knocked out. So the match is over, Trunks is our winner, and Vegeta wastes no time to gloat at Goku.
It's so good. Like, I love that so much. Like, Goku is basically just excited excited about the fight. Like, he's like, oh, that was a really good fight. These kids are really impressive. Whereas Vegeta is like, yeah, suck it, Kakarot.
Another win for the Vegetas.
That's right.
it's a fun match. I actually really did enjoy this fight between these two. And I mean, I love it because Trunks is a year older, so it's hard to say, like, is Trunks a better fighter because he's older, or is it because he's been training with Vegeta? Who knows?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. It makes perfect sense that Trunks is the one to win this fight. Even if, you know, there's a little bit of outstanding circumstances with going Super Saiyan and stuff, I think that he was going to win the fight regardless, pretty much.
And I mean, I think it's appropriate that you have the fight win on controversial grounds because they're kids, like, you know. Yes. That's going to cause trouble or whatever, and it makes it more fun.
I mean, Goten is even annoyed. He's like, hey, you cheated, and Trunks solves or quells the situation by telling Goten that he'll give him some of his toys. So
he's like, oh really? Like, I'll give you 3 toys. I have 3 million toys. You can have 3 toys.
Yeah, which Goten's ecstatic about. Like, these are kids. That's kind of they're hammering that home for us to understand. And then this kind of turns into they basically end up, the tournament is set up such that the winner of the junior division gets to have a little prelim match with the current world champion.
Yeah, and of course Hercule is just, I mean, his feet are stone at this point. He does not want to go out there and deal with any of this, but I mean, he's dragged into the ring and he's doing everything he can to try and get out of it. He's faking an injury. He's trying to make deals with Trunks. Like, he is floundering like a fish. But as soon as this starts, we see that the, like, Goku and Vegeta and the other Z fighters, they turn and walk away. They're like, oh, the tournament's over. And Videl's kind of scratching her head. She's like, wait, you don't want to see like one of your friends or your friend's kid fight the world champion? Why wouldn't you want to be here for this? And they just kind of like brush it off and just leave. And she's left kind of pondering.
I love this because this is her father, who she believes is the strongest man on the planet. Like, and they just completely disregard him. This also is one moment where Trunks is kind of like he sees Mr. Satan doing some like practice punches and kicks. And he's like, this guy looks super weak. It's got to be a trick because he's the world champion, right? Like, this is the only time that Trunks is, he doesn't understand the situation. He doesn't understand that Mr. Satan is just weak.
Well, I mean, this is, I like this a lot because this is kind of Vegeta calculation, right? This is, yeah, once again, kind of showing the difference between the way Goten thinks about things, the way Trunks thinks about things. Trunks doesn't know this fighter. He's not an experienced fighter. So he's just like, all right, like he's weak, but he's the world martial arts champion. And Trunks is probably at least semi-ish familiar with at least the stories of, say, like Krillin. I would assume he's heard stuff about that because Trunks lives in the city, right? And I'm sure he's heard from Bulma or whatever. Trunks has to be a little bit more clued in to the fact that there are some strong fighters in the world that aren't him.
Yeah, absolutely. So it makes sense that he's cautious about this. Mr. Satan, basically, the way that he manipulates this situation is he tells Trunks, hey, there's a way that we as fighters greet each other. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to give you the chance to give me a little tap, like a little fist tap on the cheek. And he emphasizes tap. And so Trunks delivers what he considers a tap, knocking Mr. Satan clean out of the ring.
Yeah, that, I mean, I guess he's lucky he only walked away with a concussion, but the match is over, I guess, and everyone is more or less left stunned, except for Trunks and Gohan.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps up the episode, which is the last episode that we're covering for this run. It's going to kind of leave us to see, you know, how Mr. Satan handles this situation next, and then also dive into the adult section of the world tournament. But what did you feel about these episodes, Dayton?
So, okay, I like the last two episodes quite a bit. The rest of them, I don't mind the story that's being told. This just feels like Kai could have cut out so much more and condensed a lot of this. The first eight or so episodes probably should have been something closer to four or five. Mm-hmm. We spend too much time on, I guess, building fluff and background between Gohan and Videl, which is important, but not all of it was important. I think they could have done a better job with it.
That's the tricky part. Like, I was trying to think while I was going through it, like, what did they cut out here? Admittedly, man, that entire episode dedicated to the dinosaur and stuff, I was like, this should go. I don't like this at all. But at the same time, it's the moment that Videl realizes that Great Saiyaman is Gohan. So I'm like, where do you cut this stuff? But it just feels too long. And I'm sure they've cut this down from the original, but it still feels too long.
Yeah, it felt like it dragged out. I mean, I get there's stuff where it's like during the baseball stuff, I get that, you know, oh, well, we're kind of learning that Gohan's tipping the hand a little bit. But it's like every freaking scene with him at school is him tipping the hand. We don't need to see that 30 times. Just is this an important scene of him tipping the hand or is this just another one? So I think there are plenty of areas where they could have cut it a little bit, but they opted not to. But I do kind of see what you're saying where, you know, there are some scenes, though, where it's this 10 minute long scene and most of it doesn't matter. But it's that minute 10 that you need to see.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the whole dinosaur thing. Like, you kind of have to set up the dinosaur thing in order to get the moment where Videl realizes who the Great Saiyaman is.
I love the introduction as Videl as a character, though, getting to, I guess, be introduced to the Z Fighters as a regular person. I love that idea of a character or as a story arc to follow. And they do a really good job with it. You get to, and Videl's like a martial artist, right? And she's a darn good martial artist. And she kind of lives in super circumstances herself. with her dad being kind of a super famous person, and like her life already isn't normal, but compared to the Z Fighters, it's very normal.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I will also say that looking at some of the old clips of the original Z dub, the dialogue is much better, even though I was kind of ripping on the music a little bit. They improved the dialogue significantly in some portions, and
it's hard for me to say much about the music because there weren't a lot of scenes where it really called for music. There was like one and they missed it.
Yeah, that one scene was like, they dropped the ball on that one for me. But the pacing feels a little bit weird. However, we are, after these 10 episodes, we are past, in my opinion, what is most of the fluff that you'll see in the Boo arc. And so I'm curious to see how the rest of it is handled. I don't think that the rest of it will feel as poorly paced as these first few episodes do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think most of the fluff is here. I mean, there's a crazy amount of like side plots and changes in the storyline and stuff like that happened throughout the Boo arc from what I remember. So there is a lot of weird content and rabbit holes that we need time to go down. So I'm really curious how they tackle it, because I know it wouldn't be easy. Good luck to them. I hope they did a good job.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I'm hoping they cut out the worst of that, or at least just tighten things up a little bit. We'll see as we kind of keep moving forward. I don't know. That's pretty much my thoughts on this so far. I'm curious to see more. Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss about this one, Dayton?
No, I'm honestly, I'm kind of glad to be wrapping this one up, because things get really good from here on out. So this is the table set. We did it. We got the appetizers down. Like, let's get into the main dish here.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. But I think that's going to be it for this episode of Instant Transmission, where we discuss everything Dragon Ball. This has been your host, Todd.
And Dayton.
Be sure to join us next time as we compete for the title of World Champion in Part 2 of the World Tournament arc. Mr. Satan's reputation is on the line, but he's going to have to find a way to get past all of our Z Fighters if he wants to keep his championship belt. Not to mention a few mysterious fighters who make their way to the top 16.
Ooh.
Do Videl and Mr. Satan have a prayer of making it past round 1? What tricks do the other fighters have up their sleeves? How much Zenny does a championship title cost? Find out next time. And to all our fellow Dragon Ball fans, stay safe out there, and remember to keep rocking the dragon.
Goddamn corruption in my martial arts tournaments. God damn it.
Get your Zenny out of here.